You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Gerard Cherry is with us right now, as he usually is on this show. Nathan Zagura's got the shades on and looking very stylish.
The Browns' cool. Future is so bright.
Is that what it is? Or I think it's the lights in this room.
Yeah.
Hey, Gerard, how you doing?
What's up, Vic? How are you, man?
Did you listen at all to a little of the interview we had with Jeff Hobson from Cincinnati?
Yes, I was paying attention to the
interview. All right. So, I know you're on location, but mm-hmm. And you and Julio are going to be coming up right after this. I just want to ask you about the reference he made to Andy Dalton. And basically his point is it's about the people around him, not so much Andy. Are you buying that, or do you still see some liability there with this quarterback in year number three?
I still see liability with
me too,
Andy, in the sense that when you watch last week's game, he gave Green Bay Packers several chances to make some big plays because of poor decision-making and bad throws on his part. So, granted, yes, he has the playmakers around him. He has a solid defense, and he obviously has the offensive weapons more than probably any team in the National Football League. But here's the thing. At some point, he's going to have to take that Joe Flacco step and not rely so much on just the playmakers around him. He has to make plays. He has to set guys up to succeed and not rely on them and bail him out of situations. So I'm totally in the mindset that it's not enough to get to that next level to be that Super Bowl quarterback. Unless your defense is the 2000 Ravens or the 85 Bears, it's not going to happen unless your quarterback has some part in it, and that's a major part.
Absolutely. It's certainly a big part. Let me ask you this, Gerard. Another big factor here, some news coming in out of Cincinnati, and Jeff talked about it. Injuries in the backfield of their defense. Leon Hall not practicing today. Reggie mm-hmm. Nelson, their only established safety, not practicing today. If those guys are out, what does that? I feel like that has a pretty significant impact on what the Browns are able to do with the football, given that the strength of this offense is the passing game, specifically the playmakers, Gordon and Cameron.
Exactly, and that frees you up if you have a Nelson as well as a young man from Michigan missing, and with that, you figure Norv Turner should open up the offense even more so from a vertical passing game standpoint. So, yeah, you don't wish guys injury, but, hey, take advantage of the situation. Whoever they bring in, you got to put a star by that guy and say, let's attack him and see if he can stop us. At the same time, though, guys, the offense has to establish some semblance of a running game in order to move forward. I don't think you can go in this game totally relying on Hoyer to throw 40 to 50 times. He's going to need some help as well to give this offense some balance, because after a while it becomes too predictable. And Marvin Harrison as well as Zimmerman are too good of defensive-minded individuals to not let Hoyer beat them.
Yeah, it's a good point you make about that with regard to, legitimacy of your running attack. Mm-hmm. Honor it, right? You've got to give them something to honor. And a caller was asking earlier, Gerard, about how fast a running back needs, or how much, how quickly can he assimilate what he needs to do to be effective in a game. So you're Willis McGahee. You show up here basically last Thursday, and you're on the field on Sunday. But for a guy who basically understands this scheme, the rest of it is knocking off, I guess, the rust, right? How much there really is there much in the way of preparation for a back, or in a matter of days, or are we, are we not cutting him enough slack? Do we got to give him some time?
I don't give him too much time, because Willis McGahee, pardon expression, is almost like when you have an injured horse. And after a while, he's going to just do what comes natural to him, which is running. And once he gets comfortable and acclimated to the situation, used to taking the hits and trusting the reads and just getting back acclimated to playing football, he'll be fine. The guy's a proven veteran, obviously. So I think it's just more of time on his part, because if anyone could just walk off the street and play the game at a high level, it wouldn't be professional football, and anyone could do it, obviously. So out of just respect for the game, you don't expect him to just come out right away. And you see with RG3 down in Washington that he's struggling. The reason why is because he didn't go through training camp. So I expect McGahee to eventually get it, but it's going to take time.
Hey, one thing for all of us, but I want to hit tonight's game, 49ers-Rams. 49ers shocking some people with how poorly – I mean, they got manhandled by the Colts last week. How surprised were you by that? How quick do you see a turnaround, or how much trouble do you think that team is in?
I think they're in a lot of trouble, because I know Williams has his issues, and he checked in a rehab, but if I see a guy out that late at night, and then I'm saying to myself, are they willing to commit themselves to paying the price to get back to where they were last year? It's hard to get back to the Super Bowl, because you're going to always get everyone's A game, and are they ready mentally to go through that journey of giving their A game as well?
And look at that team right now. Anquan Boldin last week was the only threat in the passing game. Without Vernon Davis, they have no one who can stretch the field. They have no weapons for Colin Kaepernick, and he's struggling right now because of it. There is nobody that scares a defense. Now, hopefully Vernon Davis back tonight, and that can change things. But you just look at it, and you say, okay, we can put everybody up near the box, try to stop the run game, make sure that Kaepernick doesn't run. There's nobody to beat them over the top right now on that team. That's
made,
a problem.
Made Colin Kaepernick look pretty ordinary.
He looked very ordinary.
Great season. Gerard, thank you.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Gerard!
In a couple of minutes, Gerard Cherry will be coming up with Hooley and Gerard. That is right after this show. We want to thank Doug Deacon and Tom Withers for being with us and Jeff Hobson for being with us. Want to thank Jameer Howerton and Devon Bess. Want to thank our outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale. And thank you for calling up and being part of the show and hanging out. We'll have more for you tomorrow. Again, yours truly will be at the PNC Bank in Medina. Come see me interact over there. Otherwise, that's about it, man. We put a wrap on it.
And we put a wrap on it. Tomorrow we'll get into some more in-depth analysis, breaking down the battle for Ohio, the Browns, the Bengals, Sunday, First Energy Stadium. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Stay tuned for Hooley and Gerard. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven
by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.